Some can't, but a lot do. Manage to turn a profit, that is.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. Sure, the American greenback is anemic, but we're getting a good lesson today in why that doesn't have to be bad news for American business. Turns out the resulting boost in buying power abroad is creating strong demand for what we've got to sell. Pfizer more than doubled its earnings in the second quarter of the year, thanks largely to rising sales of its pharmaceuticals overseas. McDonald's beefed up its quarterly profit, too, with strong business abroad. PepsiCo credits much of its higher profit to increased international demand for its drinks and snacks. And the weak dollar means Philip Morris has been shipping more Marlboros and other cigarettes overseas, helping to lift its profits. On the other hand, Wall Street can't ignore today's losers. Or can it? Profits are down at Boeing, Northwest Airlines, the New York Times, Costco warehouse stores, and at Whirlpool, the world's biggest appliance maker. That mixed news is getting mixed reviews as Wall Street opens for business. The Dow is down 40 points, a third of 1%. The Nasdaq is up a tiny fraction. The S&P 500 is virtually flat. But Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac shares are up sharply this morning on news the White House has agreed to a compromise with lawmakers on that big housing market rescue bill. It's aimed at helping millions of homeowners refinance at lower rates, and it provides a government backstop for the two companies that guarantee nearly half the nation's mortgages. Concern over Fannie and Freddie's health caused home loan rates to jump in recent days, and Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports there's no guarantee this action by Congress will help bring them back to earth.
From last Friday through yesterday, the interest rate on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages shot up nearly 0.4 of a point. For a $400,000 loan, the increase would add $71 to a monthly bill. It's all because investors fear Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac aren't as rock-solid as was once believed. Economist Peter Morici at the University of Maryland says higher mortgage rates may be here to stay.
It would appear that for the next couple of years, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will be viewed as riskier investments than they once were, and that they will have to pay more for money and charge higher interest rates to prospective buyers.
The timing couldn't be worse for the faltering housing market. Home prices are already down about 18%, and rising mortgage rates will make it even more difficult to buy a home. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
A lot of big money investors were caught by surprise earlier this year when the bottom dropped out of the market for something called auction rate securities. They complained that they were assured the investments were totally safe and as good as cash if they needed to get their money out quickly, only to learn the funds were suddenly frozen and unavailable. Now the Wall Street Journal reports New York's Attorney General is preparing to charge the big investment bank UBS with securities fraud. He's still looking into whether sales pitches used by other banks misled investors about the real risks. You're listening to the Morning Report for Wednesday, July 23rd at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon. Yesterday, the world's biggest cell phone company, Vodafone, reported a disastrous quarter, partly due to sluggish handset sales. Investors went on a selling tear, and the company lost about $20 billion of its share value. Then Vodafone made a bold move. It announced that it's buying back $2 billion worth of its own stock. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Vodafone says the 14% fall in its share price after yesterday's trading statement was overdone. The buyback is aimed at restoring confidence, but investors remain nervous. They had assumed the cell phone business would be immune to a general economic downturn, that come what may, people would carry on babbling incessantly into their phones. But Vodafone's statement dispelled that cozy notion. The company's earnings in Europe have fallen. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with Seven Investment.
It showed that as the economy was worsening, people with their discretionary spending decisions decided, well, we're not going to use our phone quite so much.
Vodafone fared worst of all in Spain. The collapse of the property market there has thrown thousands of migrant workers out of a job. Many have now left the country and the Vodafone network. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We throw around a lot of big numbers on this show, millions, billions, trillions. But this next bit of news is a little more on the level of most of us. Dollar coins. Andrew Jackson's visage will grace the new one coming out next month. Maybe the former president will have better luck filling our pockets than Sacagawea did. The dollar coin has had a lot of trouble catching on. People complain they're too easy to confuse with quarters. But the U.S. Mint is hoping to change all that and make dollar coins, well, a dime a dozen, so to speak. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
There actually is a good reason why the Mint is trying to get us to use dollar coins instead of bills. The Government Accountability Office says Uncle Sam could save $522 million a year in production expenses if we did. That's because the coins last 30 years, while the bills don't even last 30 months. But no one seems to use the coins, not even this coin proponent.
I haven't used the dollar coin in who knows how many years.
Wake Forest University economist Robert Waples says there are logical places to use the coins.
The place that I've seen it be in circulation the most usefully has been, you know, when I go to some large cities and they'll be using it in their subway system or something like that.
The U.S. Mint is launching an effort next month to expand the dollar coin's usage above ground at cash-heavy businesses like fast food joints and retail megastores like Walmart. Spenders in Charlotte, Portland, Oregon, Austin, and Grand Rapids will be the guinea pigs for the Mint's latest trial. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
For years, premium cable network Showtime has lived in the shadows of its arch-rival HBO. But with the growing lineup of popular shows that includes The Tudors and Dexter, Showtime hopes to muscle in on some of HBO's glory and viewers.
The boss will see you now.
In this installment of Conversations from the Corner Office, Marketplace's Kai Ryssdal catches up with Showtime CEO Matt Blank.
What's your role in the creative process around here?
People would say nothing in our company.
To your face? To your face, actually, or no?
But, no, I mean, you know, the nice thing is we have a very lean organization, you know, a group of half a dozen people at the top of our company who make all the important decisions and really run the company on a daily basis. We have a very collaborative style. So, you know, the honest answer is I don't bring anything in-house creatively, but certainly I'm involved in all the important decisions.
How important to you as a guy who's leading this company in this media environment is buzz? I mean, how important is it to get your product out there and have it be talked about?
It's extremely important. We're in a relatively small number of homes, roughly 16 million homes. So it's hard for us to get the same promotional weight behind the launch of a show, for instance. Whereas if you are CBS and you've got a CSI, one of the top shows on television, and you want to promote something premiering the next night, you can just bang it home over and over and get tremendous reach and frequency using your own network. We don't have that advantage. So when we do a show like a Weeds or a Dexter, it's very important that people are talking about those shows, that people are writing about those shows. And that's a great generator of spin for the show, but also for the brand.
What is the brand, though? Is the brand Showtime or is the brand Weeds?
Well, you know, for the first time in my career, I'm in a position to say we're not really that worried about that, because I think that Showtime means something to people because of Weeds, and Weeds is only on Showtime. So you can't have a better situation than that.
Matt Blank is the chairman and CEO of the Showtime Networks. Matt, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you. This was great.
New York's transit agency is detailing its new budget today. It includes the second fare increase in 2 years for bus, rail, and subway rides. And the Big Apple isn't the only city facing these kinds of funding challenges. In New York, Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
New Yorkers have been commuting by subway for decades. But in other parts of the U.S., public transport is suddenly gaining new riders, keen to save money on gas. Bill Millar of the American Public Transportation Association says that's great.
But on the other hand, public transit systems are great users of energy, particularly diesel and gasoline.
So he says cities from Cleveland to San Diego are hiking fares, but that won't automatically plug budget deficits. Millar says transit systems rely on several sources of funding.
Certainly, I've been talking lately with communities that rely a lot on sales tax. And as the economy has grown worse, people are buying less, and they're seeing sales taxes go down.
He says to shore up their budgets, many transit systems are putting off improvements, and some are cutting back on service. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Have you got a summer vacation destination this year? It's going to be more expensive getting there by car or by air. And commentator Robert Reich says the only way many of us will be going anywhere at all is by luck.
If you're taking some time off this summer, you're in the minority. A conference board poll last April found fewer than 40% of Americans planning a summer vacation. Of course, for most of us, there's not much summer vacation to begin with. The average American employee gets a total of 14 days off each year. If you want to take a few of them around Thanksgiving, between Christmas and New Year's, and maybe when the kids are home on spring break, summer vacation is already practically gone. Those 14 days, by the way, are the fewest vacation days in any advanced economy. The average French worker gets 37 days off annually. In Britain, it's 26. And even when we take those 14 days, we don't always get paid for them. The Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us one out of four workers gets no paid vacation days at all. Every other advanced nation, and even lots of developing nations, mandate them. On top of all this comes the current economic squeeze. That figure of 40% of Americans planning a summer vacation is the lowest in 30 years. Not incidentally, consumer confidence in the economy is the lowest it's been in 28 years. In other words, there's a correlation between the small number of Americans taking a vacation this summer and this very bad economy. It's not that we're too busy to vacation, just the opposite. There's not enough work to go around, which means we don't dare leave work, lest we lose a customer who might just happen to want us when we're gone, or we could even lose the job because employees on vacation might seem expendable to an employer looking for a way to cut costs. Despite all this, Americans need a summer vacation, and any political candidate who aims to win votes this November would be wise to promise them one.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. By the way, he taped this segment because... He's on vacation this week. We're always appreciative when you take a little time out to share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.